Hello, this is Janet Meshagan Watson for Voice of the Last Days Ministry, and this is your wake-up call. The Lord is doing a great thing in the earth. Well, I was reading a scripture, and the Spirit put it on my heart to talk about reasons that we don't see the Word accomplished in our life as is promised. Let me read you, first of all, the scripture that I started with. And that is Acts 19:13. It says, a team of Jews who were traveling from town to town, casting out evil spirits, tried to use the name of the Lord Jesus. The incantation they used was this: I command you by Jesus, whom Paul preaches, to come out. Seven sons of Sceva, a leading priest, were doing this. But when they tried it on a man possessed by an evil spirit, now, the meaning here, it says at the beginning that they were traveling around casting out evil spirits. But from the context here, this means they finally met up with someone who had an honest, the evil spirit wasn't honest, but they honestly had an evil spirit, not just some other malady or disorder. It says, but when they tried it on a man possessed by an evil spirit, the spirit replied, I know Jesus, and I know Paul, but who are you? And he leaped on them and attacked them with such violence that they fled from the house naked and badly injured. Now, what happened here? To them, Jesus was just going to be some other magic word, his name. They thought the power was in just calling that name, that those letters that spelled out that name. There was power in them like the other incantations they were evidently using. What was lacking was really knowing who Jesus was and having a relationship with him, so that when they said in the name of Jesus, you see, it gives a good indication of their lack of relationship for them to say, I command you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. They had just heard this second-handed and had no experience with Jesus, had no relationship with Jesus. They were just going to use his name like any other incantation. Well, how does that apply to us? A lot of times we'll just use the word, what the word is said, or even the name of Jesus. We have no relationship with him. We have no experience with him. We're just doing it out of some exercise, and generally we already feel like it's going to be exercise and futility. But whatever the thing is that causes us not to have a relationship with Jesus, when we try to use his name, there's not going to be any effect in it, because you are not connected with him in the spirit. It would be like you going and signing your name on my check. You don't have authority to do that. Or if you even sign my name, you don't have authority to do that. But now, if your name is on my check with my name, then you have authority. Does that bring a scripture to mind to you? Join heirs with Jesus Christ. When we have a relationship with him, we are joint heirs with him and share in his authority and can take the word and use it with the authority that he has. That's when we see results. Let's look at some other things that will help illuminate why perhaps there are unanswered prayers in terms of when we use the word and we don't see it coming to pass. I can't go into all of it because of the limitation of time, but this will get you started. Let's look at Matthew 4:10. This is the end of the story where Jesus has been in the wilderness. He's been tempted of Satan. But all I'll read of that for the sake of time is verse 10, where it says, then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Well, obviously Jesus knew the word because he was the word. But you have to know the word to be able to proclaim the word. If you don't know what your rights and privileges are, you can be a child of God and never know what's coming to you. You can allow Satan to still rule in your life. That's very possible for Christians that don't know their rights and privileges, that don't use the word to come against him. You know, the scripture that says bringing every thought that exalts itself against the word of God, bringing that into captivity. That's an action on your part. Well, how are you going to know that it's something that needs to be brought into captivity if you don't even know what the word says? Satan can tell you all kinds of things and you just will take it hook, line, and sinker, particularly if he attaches it to your agenda in some way. We have to know what the word says to be able to use it with authority. And 2 Timothy 2:12, let me read a little context of the point that I'm wanting to make. He says, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny and disown and reject him, he will also deny and disown and reject us. If we are faithless, that is, do not believe and are untrue to him, he remains true, faithful to his word and his righteous character, for he cannot deny himself. He's just saying here, if we fail, if we're faithless, all is lost for our side of the promise. We're not going to receive the promise, but it isn't because Jesus has failed. It's because we have failed to access. Verse 14 says, remind the people of these facts and solemnly charge them in the presence of the Lord to avoid petty controversy over words, which does no good but upsets and undermines the faith of the hearers. They had evidently found some trivial things, wording of things to fuss over, and they were missing a lot of the main points. And here's the point, verse 15, study and be eager and do your utmost to present yourself to God approved, tested by trial, a workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing and accurately dividing, rightly handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. You can't do that without the Holy Spirit in you. The Holy Spirit wrote the word, therefore the Holy Spirit interprets the word. And only the Holy Spirit active in you can help you to rightly divide. He leads you into all truth. There are some people that decide what they want the Word of God to say, and then they go find scriptures that so-called confirm that. Well, you could confirm anything. There's enough words and sentences in the Bible that you could basically find some story to confirm whatever you're trying to put forth. But it wouldn't necessarily be the truth, because the truth of those individual verses and passages is found within their context, and then within the greater context of the whole word, and then within the greater context of the Holy Spirit, in whom the whole word dwells. If you don't rightly divide the word, then you're going to not know how to use the word, and at the same time, you're not going to know how to teach it either. Look at Matthew 17:15. This man is saying to Jesus, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls in the fire and often in the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. He says, you don't have the faith. What do we mean by faith that's like a mustard seed? Well, there's some debate over exactly what Jesus meant, but one thing I do know about a mustard seed, if you plant it, it'll produce a mustard plant. A plant that produces mustard seeds is what I'm trying to say. It has power in it because it is living. It's not a matter of the size of it, it's a matter of what is in it. Pure, unadulterated faith. Faith with a living potential in it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It is knowing without seeing according to the flesh or according to our senses. But it is seeing in the Spirit because we believe what the Word of God has said is true. Let's look at James 5:13. Is anyone among you afflicted, ill-treated, suffering evil? He should pray. Is anyone glad at heart? He should sing praise to God. Is anyone among you sick? He should call to the church elders, that is the spiritual guides, and they should pray over him, anointing him with oil in the Lord's name. And the prayer that is of faith will save him who is sick, and the Lord will restore him. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray also for one another, that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. Now listen to this. The earnest, that is heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. And then he gives us an example. Elijah was a human being with a nature such as we have, with feelings, affections, and a constitution like ours. And he prayed earnestly for it not to rain. And no rain fell on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again, and the heavens supplied rain, and the land produced its crops as usual. What does this show us? The prayer, the use of the word, has to be in an attitude of fervency. It has to be in an attitude of tenaciousness, where we are going to speak that word and we are going to pray that word earnestly and fervently until we see it accomplished. There's a sad commentary found in Psalm 50, verse 16. But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to recite my statutes or take my covenant or pledge on your lips, seeing that you hate instruction and correction and cast my words behind you, discarding them? And he goes on to explain what he's talking about. You associate with thieves, you speak bad things, you talk against your brother, and all of these things, he says, indicate that you don't believe my word because you're not obedient to it. And here's the point. If you are not obedient to the word, you have no right to use it. So that you have no authority to use it, and you will not see the results that are promised by it. The results are promised by it when it is used, for lack of a better word, by an obedient child who believes it enough by faith to be obedient to it. Now, let's go on here, and there's some more we can understand from this. In verse 22 of Psalm 50. Now consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. He who brings an offering of praise and thanksgiving honors and glorifies me. And he who orders his way aright, who prepares the way that I may show him, to him I will demonstrate the salvation of God. Well, again in here, in addition to talking about being obedient, it's talking about offering praise and worship and thanksgiving before God. It is in that attitude, in that mind, that the word of God can then be used and you'll see accomplished what it says. James 4:1 says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. He's saying you're trying in your own devices to get everything, and it's just not working for you. And then he says in verse 3, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? So you see, you have to ask. In other words, when you're praying, you pray the word, and you don't just say, well, the word says. You ask God according to the word. You don't say, well, the word of God says that by the stripes of Jesus Christ I'm healed. You pray. You say, God, help me, heal me. The word says, by the stripes of Jesus Christ I'm healed. Just stating what the word says, there's no power in that. And then if we do ask, and we're asking and using God's word just to try to get something for ourselves or for our own personal agenda, not concerned at all about the will of God, that's not going to work either. Well, why have I brought this to you today? Because I want you to be able to use the word of God with power and authority. And I want you to be able to see that the word of God is true. If the word of God isn't working for you, guess where the problem is? Oh, I know. It's the same thing if it's with me. Now, there is such a thing as delayed answers in terms of sometimes there's spiritual warfare or different things that are going on over which you may not have control. But if you stay in there and you're doing all the things you need to do, you know what the word says. You're believing what the word says with faith. You're rightly dividing the word. You come to the Lord with an attitude of worship and praise. You're asking according to his will. Then you have to know that it will be done. Don't you want the word to be able to work for you? Let's pray about that. Father, I thank you that your word is true. Lord, we know when there's a failure, it's on our side. Help us, Father, not to be ignorant. Help us to know your word. Help us to be able to walk in it as obedient children. Please let your Holy Spirit lead us so that we can understand the word and that we can have the power to obey it and walk in it. And Lord, we do ask that you would help us to access every promise that the word has for us. Lord, we thank you for it and know that it is by your word that we are preserved and saved. I thank you, Lord, that you have rebuked and exiled the devourer from our lives so that only your word is manifest in and through us. It is in Jesus' name and his authority and under his blood that we pray, and everybody said, Amen. Well, if the word of God hasn't been working for you, consider all that I've shared with you today. Let the Holy Spirit reveal even more to you so that you can be working for the word. I'm praying for you.